There are several announcements this morning. I'd encourage you to please take home a copy of the bulletin here or to access the bulletin online. There is a great deal of information, especially related to those things coming up for our Lenten journey. Our parish directory is almost at a completion, and I'm grateful to all the members of the community for the hard work that they have done. While it is time past for have your picture taken, if you would like your information included in the directory, please email that to me, and I will make sure it gets to members of the committee. I do want to draw your attention in advance so you can plan appropriately to our Lenten Days of Recollection. The one for women will be on the 16th of March, and the one for men will be on the 23rd of March. There will be no confessions next Sunday at 10 a.m. Father Blake, the pastor of St. Luke, will be gone. And in order for that me to assist him in that, I will be celebrating the 10 a.m. Mass in addition to our normal Masses on Sunday. Two final announcements. Everyone is encouraged and always invited to attend our coffee hour after Mass today. It is downstairs in the St. Joseph Room if you are visiting us for the first time. And finally, immediately following Holy Mass, as we celebrate also today the Feast of St. Blaise, we will have the opportunity for the blessing of throats after Mass. Structurally speaking, I will process out immediately after Mass and forego our normal act of thanksgiving to our Blessed Mother in order to accommodate and allow time for all those who wish to have their throats blessed to be able to have that done. I will come back, take off my chasuble, and you can make your way to the communion rail as you would for Holy Communion to have your throat blessed as well. If you will indulge me a little bit of self-referentialism, our gospel from St. Matthew caused several thoughts to come to mind, especially of my early life and my early childhood. I was a horrible baseball player. I believe I'm slightly scarred by my experiences of playing Little League and my failure to ever achieve any success. My family coughed it up to my inability to have any type of athleticism at all. I kind of accepted that as the nature of my being. I'm not quite sure that actually is true. And of course, my life and my history since my embarrassing moments in standing at the plate and making a complete fool of myself, those have seen that I have some degree of athletic ability. Why do I share these embarrassing moments with you? Because when I look back upon my young self, I think partly what motivated me and contributed to my failure was the reality of fear. I was afraid of being embarrassed. I was afraid of being mocked. I was afraid of not having the success that the other young men were having around me. And so instead of just letting myself go, which I was incapable of doing, that fear paralyzed me. And not only did it paralyze me, in a sense, it penalized me, and something that lasted with me long into my early adulthood. We have experiences like that throughout our young life, things that frighten us, whether it be standing before others and giving speeches or putting ourselves out there in public venues, whatever those may be. And those things we might be able to, as we look past them or look back on them, we might be able to simply move past them and not find ourselves overwhelmed by them. But then as our gospel unfolds and we apply this to the spiritual life, we realize that we are dealing with something much more serious than our success on the baseball diamond or our ability to stand before others and give a speech. If we allow fear in relationship with God to paralyze us, we're choking off the very life's blood that we need, the very breath that we need in order to find success. We cannot allow fear to keep us from doing the things that God is asking us to do. That doesn't mean there won't be a certain degree of trepidation, a certain degree of anxiety, depending on the situation in which we find ourselves. But if we become so paralyzed by fear of what others think, or that I might suffer, or I might be diminished in the sight of men, whatever thing might motivate us to allow that fear to paralyze us, not only are we damaged, we run the potential of not being an instrument of grace for others as well. There must always be a constant, even vigilant understanding that I'm working, yes, for my own salvation, but I'm also in some way, by God's providence, connected to the salvation of others as well. I may not always know specifically to whom I'm being called to evangelize or teach or admonish or instruct. Therefore, all of the opportunities that present themselves to teach, admonish, and instruct, I need, to the best of my ability, take advantage of those experiences. And while I may not always have the words, God will indeed give me the words. And may I always not have the wisdom, He will bestow that wisdom upon me as well. What is required of me is to, as best I can, cooperate with His grace, put out into the deep, if you will, and to trust Him completely and totally. And certainly never to allow fear to choke off me preaching and proclaiming the truth by word, and just as importantly, by deed. What our gospel reminds us, and the reason why we overcome our fear, is not merely, if you will, in some teachable moment where we kind of muster up enough strength to overcome those things that might debilitate us. This isn't about pulling ourselves up by our own bootstraps. Yes, there is discipline. Yes, there is a certain native or natural courage. But what our gospel reveals is that God is intimately present in every aspect of our lives, and that is the reason why we are not afraid. He is in this boat with us. St. Augustine says, in reflecting on St. Matthew's gospel, that the boat is the life of the church herself. And so, clearly, the times in which we live, we are being buffeted by the sea and the strong winds that are knocking the boat of Holy Mother Church around. But the Lord looks at us in the midst of all of our anxieties and all of our difficulties. He said, why are you afraid? What's wrong with you? And it's a fair question, not a rhetorical one. Why are we afraid? Why are we worried about what will happen to the church? Because the church is already victorious. Why are we concerned about what men think about us? Because they are not the ones who can save us. The only concern before us is this intimate relationship into which God has drawn us, and He has shown Himself time and time again wanting to be engaged, involved with us because of the depth of His love for us. Of course, at the end of our gospel, the disciples ask the question, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey Him? But we know the answer to that question. This is the God-man, our Lord and Savior, who has come into the world to reconcile us to the Father, and in doing so, to vindicate us, to give us the strength we need to live rightly in His sight. There's nothing hidden, there's nothing unknown. Everything has been revealed and given and bestowed upon us. All that is necessary for us is to trust confidently in the Lord. St. Paul's exhortation to the Romans says that all of the law can be summed up in love. And in truth, that is correct. So too then can be our approach to the difficulties that we confront in the world, because love is powerful. Mothers who move mountains in cars to save their children. People who perform heroic deeds for the service of others, and they do so solely motivated by love. That's what we are able to do. That's what we are called to do. To allow the love of God to be such in our lives, so strong, so powerful, so deeply rooted in who we are, that no fear or doubt would ever keep us from witnessing to the truth that God has given us. And so let us pray through this Eucharistic sacrifice, first for an increase of that love, first of God, and then that increased love of God, the ability to love our neighbor as we've been called to love them. And then in that love, to put aside any doubt, any trepidation, or any fear, and trust in the one who not only commands the sea and the winds, but the one who has conquered sin and death once for all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.